We are joined by Jasmine Pellid, a policy and legislative advocate at Health Access California, the statewide health consumer advocacy coalition advocating for more quality, affordable health care for all Californians. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. Your initial thoughts about how the hearing is going this morning?
Well, I think it is clear that healthcare and the repeal of the ACA is one of the number one issues with confirming a new Supreme Court justice. And the Supreme Court will be hearing the case, California versus Texas, on November 10th. And that, despite what listeners may have heard during the hearing so far, repealing the entire ACA is on the table with that case. It's not just about the individual mandate. The whole case has the potential to repeal the entire Affordable Care Act, which could have severe and deadly impacts here in California. It would mean that basically, instantly, 5 million Californians would lose their health coverage. It would mean that you could be denied for having a pre-existing condition. It could mean that you could be charged more for your insurance to have a pre-existing condition. It means that you could be sold a health insurance plan that doesn't cover hospitalization. It will be detrimental if the Affordable Care Act is repealed.
Given the severity of the potential consequences of the ACA being repealed, how frustrated are you, if at all, about the Democrats seemingly not fighting very hard to interrupt or prevent this confirmation from moving forward?
Look, the Democrats are in a tough situation. They are in the minority. They do not have control of the chamber, and that puts them at a disadvantage. I think the fact that Lindsey Graham had to open the hearing with a monologue on the Affordable Care Act shows that the message about healthcare is getting through and that it is something that matters to people, and that they feel that they have to defend themselves on the issue shows that we are having an impact and that they see this as a direct threat to the Republicans being able to maintain the majority. In terms of using procedural methods to slow things down, I think that would be nice to see, but it is a distraction from the issue at hand, which is that the ACA and a whole slew of other important issue areas are at stake in a rushed nomination process.
I'm wondering if you're even thinking this far ahead, but it's likely a foregone conclusion that Amy Coney Barrett is going to be confirmed and that the ACA will be in danger. What does organizing to protect it look like post-confirmation and post the presidential election?
That's a great question. I think that first and foremost, it is very important that people continue to speak out and share their stories. Reach out to your elected officials, your senators, your congressional representatives, your state representatives. If the Affordable Care Act has helped you in any way, it is important that you are sharing your story. It is also very important that people vote in November, because there is a way to avert destruction, which is to make changes to the Affordable Care Act and to preserve the Affordable Care Act and the protections that people have. But that is only possible if there are people that are elected are committed to doing such a fix. And so I think that it's extremely important that folks vote, that people continue to share their story and speak out. While the oral arguments will be in November, a decision won't be made until, you know, spring, early summer of 2021. And so there is time. There is time to organize. There is time to make change at the federal level with additional legislation. but it's important that people get organized now and understand that the fight isn't over. Just because we're in these confirmation hearings now doesn't mean the fight is over. It's not a foregone conclusion that the ACA will be struck down and that, you know, abortion rights will be struck down and all of these other issue areas, but we have to fight for them, and we have to make sure that our elected representatives understand what repeal really means and what it means for people across the country.
Yasmin Peled, I'm hoping that you can help walk us through this case that the Supreme Court is going to hear on November 12th. And it's called Texas, and this is concerning the Affordable Care Act, a challenge to the Affordable Care Act. It's called Texas versus California. First, just basically, what is Texas and California even doing in this?
Yes, happy to provide some context. So prior to this case being brought, your listeners may remember that in late 2017, the Trump tax cuts were signed into law. And as a part of the Trump tax cuts, they zeroed out the penalty as a part of the individual mandate of the ACA. So the ACA used to say that if you didn't have health insurance coverage, that you had to pay a penalty on your taxes. So in late 2017, that penalty was removed, but the having the mandate was technically still in place. And so in early 2018, a group of states led by the Texas Attorney General sued to strike down the entire ACA because they argue that since the mandate penalty is no longer in effect, that means the individual mandate is unconstitutional and therefore the whole law is unconstitutional. And the Trump administration is refusing to defend the Affordable Care Act, which is unprecedented. And so, therefore,
they're claiming it's unconstitutional itself, the act.
Yes. So the Trump administration is agreeing with the coalition of states led by Texas that the ACA is unconstitutional. And therefore, another coalition of states led by California's Attorney General Javier Becerra are defending the law in court. So that is why the court case is called California versus Texas.
Yeah, that's so interesting. California, with some other states, had to step into the void that the federal government left by refusing to defend the Affordable Care Act. Also interesting, I think we may forget this, is that this all began with the Trump tax cuts back in 2017. Not only do we have the tax cuts, but they made the penalty for not following the individual mandate saying that you had to have health care to zero. So there is no penalty. What Texas is arguing is since there is no penalty, then there is no tax. The reason that's important is we even have to go farther back to when the Sebelius case that we heard referenced today, in which the Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision authored by the majority opinion authored by John Roberts. John Roberts said that the Affordable Care Act was constitutional, that Congress had the authority to create the Affordable Care Act through its taxing power, and he linked that directly to the what they call a tax penalty for not having health care. Do I have that all correct?
Yes, that was a great summary.
Yeah, and so now what's important to understand now that the tax penalty is zero? The question basically before the court is whether or not then the taxing power is still in effect that John Roberts had initially said Congress had to bring this.
Yeah, so the question in effect is, and listeners probably heard this term thrown around, is the issue of severability. So is the fact that the penalty is no longer in effect, does that mean that it's okay that there's still technically an individual mandate? And is the rest of the law also still, viable and in effect? In a ruling, would they potentially sort of repeal the individual mandate, but leave all of the rest of the provisions of the ACA in place. The question is, where do you sever the law? What stays in place? What remains, you know, unconstitutional? And that is the question before the court, which has serious ramifications in terms of all of the other protections that the ACA brought beyond the mandate. We're talking about the pre-existing conditions protections, the 10 essential health benefits, lifetime and annual limits on your insurance coverage, the Medicaid expansion, creating the exchanges like Covered California. All of that is on the table, and depending on where the court falls on the severability argument, some or all of those important things could remain, but it's all on the table right now.
So they could rule that there is no longer a tax penalty since it's zero, hence it's all unconstitutional, or they could rule there is no tax penalty, but we still think the, you know, protections for pre-existing conditions is still constitutional. Or again, there's also questions about the exchanges themselves. So, I mean, any combination of that could occur from this decision that the court will take up.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Now, Amy Coney Barrett, in her remarks this morning in talking about this very issue, previously she had criticized in her writings John Roberts' initial majority report in the Sebelius case that said the Affordable Care Act was constitutional because of the taxing authority that Congress has. She criticized John Roberts in that decision. But today she said what the court will be hearing on November 10th is a different question than what the court previously took up. So her writings about criticizing John Roberts is actually itself a different question than what the court will consider on November 10th. What did you think about that explanation?
I think it's concerning that she has already written on the Affordable Care Act and that she has doubts about the opinion that Chief Justice John Roberts wrote. I think it was also concerning, honestly, that she didn't even know how many people have benefited from the Affordable Care Act when Senator Leahy asked the question. She didn't know that 20 million Americans have received health coverage because of the ACA. And so I personally do not have confidence that she would necessarily uphold the pre-existing conditions protections and everything else in the ACA, partially because she doesn't have a very robust judicial record, and also because she has already expressed concern about existing opinions on the Affordable Care Act. And I think it's hard to have a crystal ball and to predict exactly what her decision and opinion may be, but I think it's certainly she has given us pause and concern around what she's said in the past.
How important is it that she's on the court, and whether or not she recuses herself in this decision? And I ask that because let's just say she does recuse herself, and if the vote is as it was in the Sebelius case, which was a 5-4 decision, now that there's no longer Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the court, if the votes were still the same, that would make it a 4-4 tie. And if it's a 4-4 tie, then the lower court ruling would still stand, which ruled that there is no tax penalty anymore. Now, I get that they didn't get into the issue of severability, but how important is it that Amy Coney Barrett is a part of this hearing or not, considering that, again, if she's not on it and you only have 8 justices taking past precedent, there's a good chance that they would tie 4-4, hence upholding the previous lower court decision?
You know, I think both circumstances could still lead to repeal, because a 4-4 decision would fall to the lower court's decision, and the lower court's decision was that the tax penalty is unconstitutional, and the entire ACA is unconstitutional. It's basically, that's what the lower court decision was. There's some details to figure out, but the lower court ruled against the ACA. So in a 4-4 decision, that would be where we end up, with Judge Coney Barrett on the bench. It could be a 5-4 decision in either way. And, you know, there's also, we don't know if the other justices may change their opinions at all on this case. So I think that whether she's on the court or not, there is a huge risk to the ACA regardless.
All righty. We've been joined by Yasmin Paled, who is policy and legislative advocate at Health Access California. She has joined us to talk about the Supreme Court scheduled hearing on November 10th of the Affordable Care Act. Again, that is a case that is called Texas versus California. There will be a lot to talk about when that case has its hearing. Yasmin Paled, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.